Are you ever burdened with a load of care? Does the cross seem heavy you are called to bear? Count your many blessings. Every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the Count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. When amidst a conflict, whether great or small, do not be discouraged, God is over all. Count your many blessings, angels will attend. Care and comfort give you to your journey's end. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has
One o three. Of course, I'm diverting. I've been taking several Sunday evenings preaching on the home, keeping the home fires burning, but that's not where I'm at today. I'm going to kind of stick with our theme of the day, more or less Thanksgiving. It's our Thanksgiving Sunday, if you will. And I'll kind of more or less just stick with the theme of thanks, if you will. The title of my message is the first several words of 103:1, Bless the Lord, O my soul. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God. We'll read responsively verses 1 through 5 of Psalm 103, verse 1. We'll read responsibly verses 105. And again, the title is Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Our Heavenly Father, we do love you. And we thank you today, God, for this day. And I pray, God, that you'd bless this message, Father. I pray, God, you'd fall upon this preacher. Pray, God, you'd give me your power. Lord, I pray, God, that you'd open hearts. I pray, God, that you'd encourage our hearts during this message now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I'm watching the time a little bit, and not that I'm going to abbreviate too much here, but I'll keep things moving, I promise you, this evening, or this afternoon, I should say. But, you know, there's not one person here, and a very simple statement, I know, but there's not one person here that does not have anything to be thankful for. I think looking around at this body of believers right now, I'm assuming, oh, God knows the heart, but I believe that you have a profession of faith. You've been saved. You're on your way to heaven. Praise the Lord. Amen. So right there is, if that be the case, and all 100%, and if all 100% here are saved, right there, we got something to be thankful for. We all have something to be thankful for. The child of God has a myriad of reasons, so many reasons as to giving thanks every day. And this psalm explores several of those reasons. Let me just give you a little background of the psalm. It was written by David. Probably it was written, I think, when he was an older man. And this psalm seems to contain language of a man who has experienced serious consequences of sin and the awesome forgiveness and pardon of an almighty God. You see, when you get saved, you know what? We don't always look into all the avenues of what salvation's all about. You know, yes, salvation, okay, I have heaven, but when you think of the awesomeness of the power of God, his love, okay, that goes into your salvation, for God so loved the world, okay, and the fact that he forgave you of all your sin. I mean, every single sin he forgave. I mean, to me, that's magnificent. To me, that's saying, God, thank you. Thank you for being such an awesome, forgiving God and a God that loves unconditionally. Right there is something to shout about when you really get right down to the heart of it. But there are three things this evening or afternoon that I want to point out to as we think of Thanksgiving, if you will. Number one, we see the request for Thanksgiving. In verse number one, the Bible says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." I see David, this psalmist, if you will, seeking to stir up the inner man to praise the Lord. Maybe he was in a spiritual slump. Of course, he's had some spiritual slumps. If you review the life of David, he certainly had some very, very low times and times that he felt like he was on his own, okay? His prayers weren't being answered. He felt like, especially during that period, a dark cloud over his head with the sin of Bathsheba and so forth. You know, there was a period of silence there, and he felt like he was on his own, so to speak. So he definitely has had his spiritual slumps. But it seems like he's kind of seeking to stir up that inner man, if you will, to praise the Lord. We've all been in spiritual slumps. We've all been there. We've all, you know, had times that we've either backslid or whatever the case may be. And we've all had these slumps, if you will. And we have to sometimes seek to stir up praise. Okay, sometimes we just got to kind of, however you have to do it, seek it. I know, let me just say this. I love music. I love good, godly music. Okay, music that just has substance to it. Music that talks about the Lord, sings about the Lord, and he's coming again. I mean, I love good music. And you know what? Oftentimes, whenever I get in a slump, if you will, oftentimes I just go ahead and get me a bunch of good CDs and I listen to some good music, and that'll help get me out of it. And you know what? Before you know it, I'll start singing. You know, I was talking about Paul and Silas being in prison this morning. You know, at midnight, you know, here they were in prison. I won't take a lot of time with it because you heard it. But you know, they started praying. And to me, I think once they started praying, the first thing they did at midnight, okay, they started praying, and let me review for a second. It wasn't this little, oh, dear Jesus. No, I think it was this kind of prayer of preachers getting on their knees and saying, "Oh, God, God, oh, God, oh, God, you know where we are." And they started praying to God Almighty. And I think when they were praying and just saying, giving thanks, if you will, to him, you know what? All of a sudden, they started praying, and then they started singing. I think once they went ahead and started praying, boy, their hearts started getting stirred, if you will. What was happening? Boy, the inner man was getting stirred up, and they started to singing. You know what? And that's sometimes what I have to do. You know, when your preacher gets in a slump and, oh, I don't know if I can keep on going, whatever. You know what? It's nice. I'll get in my truck, and I'll go ahead and, or even in here at times, sometimes it's good that I'm by myself. I don't know if I always am by myself in here. You know, who knows who's walking through. But you know what? I'll go ahead. If I'm in a slump, I'll pray. And before I know it, I'm starting to sing. You know, I may be driving along, and I might be down. I say, "Lord, you know, God, you've got to encourage me," and so forth. And I'll just have some fervent time in prayer and so forth. And before that, I'm driving down the road. I'm singing songs of Zion and so forth. And to me, it's not weird. You know, I'm just expressing who I am in Christ, if you will. But you know, you get yourself down to a red light and so forth. You're singing victory in Jesus. You know, people looking at you a little bit weird. That's okay. How you doing? You know, but whatever the case may be. But you know, oftentimes I have to go ahead and do that to go ahead and get myself out of some. Hey, what I'm saying, we've all been there, haven't we? You know, you got to sometimes find that little avenue, if you will, where you can get stir up that inner man and say, "Hey, I don't want to be in this slump." And you know, by the way, if you're there today, you don't have to stay there. You can get out of it. Amen. And just as David is telling us, there's a request for thanksgiving. We can. We don't have to stay in that spiritual slump. Perhaps his praise is not as vocal or as frequent as it should be. You know what? You know what? There's nothing wrong with just saying praise the Lord. Amen. Nothing wrong with just saying amen. There's nothing wrong with shouting hallelujah. You know what? And I know I tease about this, but it's true. Sometimes we think we're stuck up in the Northeast. I can't say that in church. Why? Why? You know, if the preacher goes ahead and hits something good, and I'm not saying I'm the greatest and most eloquent preacher in the world, but you know what? When I get under preaching, you know what? And you know what happens? My inner man gets stirred up at times. And before I know it, you know, I might have almost a little Baptist-costal fit. Amen. You know what? That's okay. You'll have your little fits at a baseball game. You know what? You go ahead and you paint yourself all red and green and black and blue, you know, and it'd be 20 below zero, and you're at some Patriots game, you all painted up with no shirt on. How? That's cool. You know what? You show just really how whatever, your inner man got stirred up, okay, but you know what? But when it comes to God's word, when it comes to the precious things of God Almighty, boy, we have all we can do to say, boo. Come on now. You know what? There's a request for thanksgiving here. It's okay to say amen. It's okay, boy, if a song stirs your heart, go ahead and say amen. If there's a good point from the preaching, go ahead and say amen. It's okay. Amen. I remember going to a revival meeting. Some would go ahead and say, "Woo, this is weird." No, there was nothing weird about it. It was holy. It was amazing to me. It was totally amazing. And I saw God just work through that particular meeting. Preacher just preaching, and it was just, you know, I guess my New England mentality thought, wow, this is different. Didn't have to be, but this is different. You know, here the preacher was really preaching it up, and I'm, of course, you know, I'm for that, and just letting her fly, if you will, and whatever the God lays on your heart, and the word of God, and so forth, you know, I'm for that. But you know what? Preacher was preaching, and boy, all of a sudden, there were people just leaving their seats, coming to the altar. Everything stopped. I mean, you know what? And people are crying. I go, wow. That's all I can say. Before I knew it, you know, my heart was so moved by what I saw that I found my way to the altar and just started doing business. You know what? And by the way, that's not weird. That's normal Christianity. You know, that is normal. I just may as well put it that way. You know what? But we're so calloused. We're so hardened, you know, whatever. Sometimes we're just so wrapped up in worldly stuff that we really, our inner man is so cold to the things of God. You know what? You need to stir up the inner man. It's okay to say amen. Ladies, you know what? Wave yourself. You know what? I'm not so sure I'm going to say amen in church. Wave a hanky then. I don't know what you're talking about. You know, it's okay to get excited for God. It's okay to go ahead and shout amen. It's okay to do that. I have no problem with that. Okay? And people think it's weird, whatever. Okay, fine. Go to some liberal church where they can't even say boo. Anyways, we'll move right along. I was supposed to be nice today. So anyways, let's move right along. So I see David here challenging himself to bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. Bless. That word bless here means to kneel before another in praise and adoration. It is a call for the soul to give adoration and praise to a worthy God. By the way, God is worthy of your praise. He is worthy of your praise. I think I preached it last Sunday morning that, you know, a form of your praise to God is music. Okay, singing. Again, it's not this honky-tonk, you know, contemporary junk, you know what? Singing praises to God Almighty, that's showing that you know, He deserves your praise. He's worthy of your praise. You know, saying an amen, or whatever. We went down that road, but kneel before another in adoration. You know what? That's why make part of your prayer life a praise time as well. Go ahead and get on your knees before God and say, God, you know, have a thank you list to God as you're praying. And so, you know what? You'd have a very long prayer life if you just go ahead and jot down all the things you're thankful for, you know, and bowing before a holy God. We live in a day when there's truly a drought of praise amongst God's people. It used to be that we would get together and praise God and speak outwardly and praise Him. We touched on that. It would do us all good as well to stir up our souls to praise. You know what? There's a request for thanksgiving here. Number two, we're going to move right on. Number two, we see a requirement for thanksgiving. Verse number two, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. David warns us here of not forgetting the benefits of the Lord in his life. Forget is a lapse of memory. That's what it means. It's a lapse of memory that can cause us to wander. You know, I get concerned. You know, the moment that we start forgetting to recognize God, you know what? That's the moment that we're going to start veering away and start wandering away. You know, if you would, you know, it would do us all good, and we find ourselves in church, we find ourselves in prayer, we find ourselves doing everything that God wants us to do, if we would every single day be remindful and recognizing every single day of our life. And sometimes we get so wrapped up, you know what, we're in that spiritual slump, and because we're in that spiritual slump, I don't feel like praising the Lord, or whatever the case may be, and you're adhering to the flesh, you're walking in the flesh and not in the spirit, and so forth. Hey, you know what, listen, the moment that you forget God, and the moment that you forget to praise God, the moment that you forget Him is that time that you're going to start wandering away. Hey, remember God. He remembered you, amen? Remember everything that He's done for you. Hey, you know what? There is a requirement for thanksgiving here. Don't forget, which will cause you to wander. We've forgotten to praise and give thanks to God as a Christian people. We kind of get comfortable. And we simply forget who gave so much to us and who ought to mean so much to us. Do you just think, again, this is very simple, but think of all that Jesus did for you on the cross. Every time I sit and I just reflect and think of everything, I'm talking about from his birth to his death. And then you just kind of reflect upon everything he went through and then reflect upon his being falsely accused and everything that he went through, the beating and everything. You know what? That'll move me to tears. And you know what? Them three tears will move me to praise because, of God, say, God, I wouldn't be doing this. I wouldn't be in heaven without you. God, thank you for loving us so much that you sent your only son. I don't ever want to forget that. I don't ever want to forget my salvation. I don't ever want to forget my Bible. I don't ever want to forget my church. I don't ever want to forget all that God has given us. He certainly has been a good God. He's given you so much. He's given you health to go to work. He's given you wealth. Maybe not all that you think, but maybe all that he thinks you need, amen? But who gave wealth? He gave you that ability or talent. Who gave it to you, by the way? God did. God's giving you that talent. Boy, you know what? You ought to use it for God, amen? You know, whatever talent it may be, but God's given you so much. When we forget what we have in Jesus and forget who we are in Jesus, there's much danger of us wandering away. Much danger of us having a cold heart, if you will. But we ought to have a tender heart towards the things of God. You show me a Christian who daily remembers Christ, and daily Christ is thanked in part of his life, I will show you one who will not wander away. Why? Because God is recognized in his life every single day. Teenager, you ought to recognize that. You ought to realize that. You know what will keep you teenagers straight? You know what will keep you teenagers and you young people, if you will, doing what you're supposed to do each and every day? You know what will help keep some of you teenagers that have made precious decisions for God, some of you young people, some of you kids that went to camp this last summer making some precious decisions, some of you young people walking the aisle making decisions between you and God? You know what will help seal them and keep them? Every single day you walk with God. Sit up back there. Sit up, Hannah. Help me out. Not man. Let's sit up. There's no talking, no distracting. Thank you. But you know what helped keep you straight? Young people, walk with God. I can't tell you how much. You know what? Some of you, listen to me. I'm your pastor, and you know your parents may even notice things because they live with you. But you know, listen to me. You know, some of you. You know what? Some of you teenagers, if you're not careful, you're veering away. You know, it might have been, I wonder how long, teenager, other than the church, you've cracked open your Bible. When was the last time it was you and God? Not because the preacher said, open up your Bible to Psalm 103, let's read it together. I hope, young person, that you know what? You've read more than just five verses that we read a while ago, this last week. Listen to me, if you don't, listen to me, I can't tell you what harm you're doing to your spiritual life. And you know what? Listen to me. It's very vital. And let me just stop and say this. You know, you parents, you think it's good me picking on the young people, but what about you? What about you? Are the only scripture verses you read the only scripture verses that we read in responsive reading on Sunday? You know, it's no wonder why we're spiritually unhealthy. It's no wonder why we're nonchalant. No wonder why we're cold to the gospel. No wonder. You know what? You know what's happening? We're forgetting. The Bible says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And you know what? It's no wonder why some of our kids are going astray simply because parents, we've lost that desire to mean business for God. You know what? It's a requirement. You know what? In your Christian life, you ought to every single day, you know, be mindful. God, thank you so much. You know, the very fact that we're breathing today, who gave you breath today? God, the very fact that you could taste and eat all that sweet pumpkin pie and the squash and the turkey and the mashed potatoes and the gravy and the string beans and the corn. I'm thinking everything I had, but boy, it was good. You know, who gave you that sense of taste? God did. You know, I know that's little things, but God has done a whole heap for you. But yet, we forget. And the moment we forget, we start wondering. we start wondering. Hey, listen. Let's remember. Thankfulness ought not be an option. By the way, thankfulness is not an option in the Bible. It's a command. The Bible says, and this is a tough verse. When you think about this verse, it's a very simple verse. This is a tough verse. But it's a command. God commands it right here in 1 Thessalonians. I'll slow down a little bit. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, the Bible says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." That's the command. It's a tough one, though. In everything. In everything give thanks. God, it's hard to go ahead and give thanks when I got a bad doctor's report. In everything give thanks. It's hard when I have more month than money. In everything give thanks. It's hard when my vehicle's not running. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God. It's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Here's another command. The Bible says in Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you keeping that commandment? Praise is beneficial. It brings peace to the heart. Let me just read a few verses in Philippians 4. In Philippians chapter 4, it's beneficial. It brings peace to the heart. Let me get to it. Philippians chapter, get there. I didn't mark it, but I was hesitant whether I was going to turn to it. But let me just, I got a couple minutes here. Beneficial, it brings peace to the heart. In Philippians 4, the Bible says in verse 6 and 7, right here, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Okay? So it brings a peace to the heart. Praise is also beneficial to the mind. It brings peace of mind. In verse number 8 of that same chapter, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So it's also good for the heart, it's good for the mind, and it also brings contentment. Let's go ahead and look over in chapter 4, Philippians 4, verses 10, right on down. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, and now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound everywhere in all things. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You know what? Praise will go ahead and bring contentment. You praise God, you get in tune with God, God will go ahead and give you of course, the peace of mind. He'll give you a peace of heart, but he'll also help you to be content. Well, it's not fair, you know, and not this attitude. Well, it's not fair, you know, so-and-so has this, so-and-so has that, so-and-so has a nicer house, so-and-so has a nicer car. You know, thank God, you don't have so-and-so's bills, amen? You know what, praise will help you be content. You know, be content with what you have. Be content with the things that God has given you. Be pleased, if you will, with the things that God has given you. You know, Paul was content in prison. This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching for the things which are before. He's in prison writing these things. I press towards the mark for the high call of Jesus Christ, for the prize of the high call of Jesus Christ, the Bible says. You know what? Paul is saying, you know what? I press towards the mark. You know what? You see, Paul could have sat there complaining and whining. Why? I'm in jail again. God, this isn't right. Why is this happening? You know what? You know what? He was praising the Lord. He was looking at still. You know what? I'm still going to go ahead and press toward tomorrow. I'm still going to go ahead. You know, I'm going to be content. And he wrote them verse. I'm going to be content with where I'm at. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know why I'm in the valley. I don't know why I'm on the mountaintop. I don't even know why I'm in between. But bless God, I am going to praise the Lord for I am, for where I am. Amen. You know what? It is beneficial. Hey, it's a request. It's a requirement. And here's some reasons. David lists several reasons in our text, if you will, as to why we should praise the Lord. Number one, praise him for his forgiveness. We touched on that in verse number 3a. The Bible says, who forgiveth all iniquities. Okay, for God's forgiveness. In him, all sin is gone. Amen? Well, we got to thank him for that, okay? And by the way, God, you are justified. And God doesn't see your sin as far as the east is from the west. We ought to thank God for his forgiveness. Hey, another reason to go ahead and praise him. The Bible says in 3b, the Bible says, who healeth all my diseases? For God's healing. Thank God for God's healing. You'd be amazed. The reports that I hear from time to time of people just being healed of sickness. You know, we have I don't mean to bring her up, but we have a young lady right in the back row there that, you know what, God's healed her of her cancer at such a time as this, and I hope forever and ever. Praise the Lord. You know, we do have things to thank God for. You have people in your own life that you know, boy, God divinely healed them, or God helped them, or whatever the case may be. Hey, you know what? We can praise God for his healing. You know what? And by the way, you know what? In him, our soul is made whole. Amen? All of us have been healed by God. Every single, if you're saved, you're a child, you know what? He set you free, and he went ahead and healed your soul, and you're on your way to heaven. Hey, number next, another reason to praise God is his redemption. In 4a, the Bible says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. You know, in him we stand redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. We'll move right along. Number four, another reason is for God's grace. We can thank him for the grace of Almighty God. In verse number 4b, the Bible says, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. In him we have received grace, mercy, compassion, salvation, and eternal blessings. You know what? Can you just think about it? Just think a little bit for a minute. This ought to excite you now of what the Bible describes what heaven's going to be like. Think about it. We know there's mansions. We know there's streets of gold. We know there's gates of pearl. We know there's a river of life. We know there is a feast. Amen? Okay, we know there's going to be Jesus, our Redeemer. I mean, you know what? God's grace, thank God by the grace that we're going to have spent eternity in heaven. You know, Ben, boy, that ought to just excite you. You know, especially, when I'm down, if I ever get discouraged, and when I'm down, you know what? I just start trying to focus to heaven and say, there's a better day coming. Think of the song, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me to heaven's open door, but I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know there is no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, oh, Lord, what I do? The angels beckon me through heaven's open door, but I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I got a better place to come in. Amen and amen. Hey, you know what? Another reason, moving right along, God's peace. See it right in verse number 5, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. In him we've been given. Let me read the rest of that verse. So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles, okay? So we can thank him for his peace. In him we've been given spiritual satisfaction and sufficient strength for the journey. You know, God will go ahead. You know, when we're going through it, it's always easy to, you know, it's easy to get discouraged. And we think, you know, am I ever going to get out of this? Am I ever going to get, preacher, I don't think there's any light up there. I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. It seems like every time I go forward, you know, I'm back in another valley. I still don't feel like I'm ever going to get out of this. You know what? God's grace, he'll give you what you need today. See, we're so concerned. You know, I'm looking down the road, and I don't see any light yet. Don't worry about that. God knows when the light will show up. But he'll give you the strength you need right now. In the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Not tomorrow, not next month, but today. God's grace is sufficient for today. Okay, when today's over and you're not through it, you know what? It's going to be sufficient tomorrow. It'll be sufficient next week, next month. Hey, God's grace, God's peace. God's peace is sufficient as well. God's intercession. The Bible says in verse number 6, the Lord executeth judgment in righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. God's intercession. In him, we have one to plead our case. You know what? We can go ahead and plead our case to the Lord Jesus. He's ever intercessing for us. Thank him for that. God's revelation, verse number 7. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. In him we can know him, fellowship with him, and follow him. You know what? Every single day, boy, you ought to understand the fact that you can follow God anywhere. He'll take you anywhere. You know what? You follow God. You know what? He's not going to take you to a place that's going to hurt you. You know, sometimes Moses, I think Moses, you just read Moses as he was leading the people of Israel and so forth, and all the valleys and the wilderness and things like that. Moses' leader had to wonder, is this ever going to end? Is this ever going to end? And of course, he had to experience God's peace day by day and God's grace day by day and so forth, but is this ever going to end? God, you know what? These people just are driving me nuts. And you know, the truth of the matter is, you know what? Moses soon saw it. Moses saw it, I think, each and every day that he saw God leading him. You know what? God's not going to lead you to places. You know, the children of Israel, they knew they were going to come to the promised land. You know, God was not going to go ahead and say that I'm going to give you something and say, you know, oh, I fooled you. No, that's not how God works. And the truth of the matter is, you know, it'd be good if all of us would just go ahead and just, well, you know, God understands, and we just need to step out and trust him with our life. You know, he knows more what to do with your life, and he knows how to do it better than you do. And you know, it'd be good if God's people would just say, God, you know what? No, I'm going to go ahead and restrict you on this particular area of my life because I don't think you quite understand. No, yes, he does understand. He breathed, you know, the very God that breathed this world into existence doesn't understand your problem. Yes, he does. He does understand your problem. And you know what? You can follow him. You can trust him. You can count on him. And he's not going to lead you to a place that's going to endanger you. Well, you know what? It'd be good if we would just go ahead and lay our burdens out to him, every single burden, and trust him with it. It'd be good to lay out our finances, every single financial woe, and just simply trust him with it. It'd be good if we lay our health out and just simply trust him with it. Hey, what I'm trying to say, you know what? We can thank God that we can trust him. Well, he's trustworthy. You know, there's no other God that's as trustworthy as God Almighty, the living and breathing and alive God. Amen. No other God that can hear you. You know, I said it this morning. I'll say it again. Buddha can't hear you. You can go ahead and chant your way all you want to him, but he can't hear a word you're saying. Hey, I said Buddha can't hear you. Islam can't hear you. You say, well, you shouldn't preach that way. I'm not a politically correct preacher. I'm trying to say we serve a God that's alive and we can go to him. Thank him every day. Amen. Move right along. That one was a tough one. Another reason is for his sovereignty. Why can we thank him? Verse number 19. The Bible says, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth overall. Take that back to the last point. His kingdom ruled overall. You can go ahead and go to every religion, every God that's out there, but whose kingdom rules overall? God's. His sovereignty. You know what? We can rest that he's in control of it all. That ought to cause you to rest this afternoon, people. He's in control. You know what? We don't always understand. We see all these, you know, you look at the news and you wonder, what's Iran going to do? How's Iraq going to happen? Is Iraq going to be okay? What about Afghanistan? We think, oh, no, what about China? Sneaky China? How about Russia? Whatever the case may be. You know, it doesn't matter what they do. God's in control of it. God's in control. Well, what about the president? Hey, God's in control. What about our world leaders? I don't know. Some of them are crazy, cuckoo. Yeah, God's in control. He's in control. You know what? Listen to what I'm saying. Sometimes we get all out of we kind of lose our rest. You know, we're so weary, if you will, of all these things that's happening in this world. Listen, you know, the Bible says it's going to happen. Well, prophecy is taking place right before us. You know, it's going to happen. Now, you know what we ought to be doing while the going's good, man. Let's keep on soul winning. Let's keep on telling people about Jesus. Let's keep on praising the Lord. Let's keep on raising our family for the cause of Christ. Let's keep on reaching boys and girls. Let's keep on running the buses. Let's keep on teaching more Sunday school class. Let's keep on doing what God wants us to do. Because listen to me, it doesn't matter what happens outside these walls. God is in control. David closes a psalm, verse number 22. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. As he closes the psalm, he's calling on all creation to join him in praising and thanking God. You know, why don't we be the example in praising the Lord? You know, sometimes parents, you wonder, man, preach, I don't know, I think I'm losing my kids. I think I'm losing my kids. What do I do? You know, let me ask you a question. Let me encourage you. Why don't you lead the family in praising the Lord? You know, let them see the excitement and joy that serving God brings. And it does bring, you know it does. You come here Sunday after Sunday. I don't know about you, but when I hear some of the reports that go on Sunday after Sunday, that just blesses my gizzard, amen? It blesses my, I'll put it this way, my heart. Some of you correct me later because I use gizzard, okay? But it blesses my heart. You know what? And I just happen to believe, you know, I need to be in step and I need to lead as far as this in many areas, but especially as far as praising the Lord and serving him. If I get excited about the things of God, I hope to some degree, Lord willing, prayerfully, that some of that excitement will pass down to my kids. You know what? And if we would get busy and we would get sincerely excited and thankful in praising the Lord for all of his goodness. You know, sometimes we gotta bring kids into perspective. We really do. I mean, this day of technology and stuff, and there's so many things, not necessarily bad things that just take us away, but you know, sometimes what we gotta do, dads and moms, we gotta go ahead and preachers and leaders, sometimes we gotta go ahead and rope them in and try to help them to go ahead and see the big picture of life, amen? You know, really zoom in and say, you know what, hey son, hey daughter, hey Sunday school kid, hey bus kid, hey teenager, whatever, you know what, all that's fine, but you know what, let's look at some things, let's get in perspective here. You know what, let's thank God for a while. Let's thank God for all that he's done for us. You know what, sometimes I think, you know, we just kind of let things go, so to speak, and our kids, you know, we ought to teach our kids to be thankful. You know, when I still try to do this, and I'm always glad to hear this. I want our young people, I think young people ought to learn how to be thankful. In other words, I think sometimes we drop the ball in this area. Whenever I took a teen activity with my teenagers back in Maine, you know, I never asked for much. I never wanted to, you know, I'd take 20, 30 teenagers out on an activity, different things like that. I never cared whether they gave me a dollar bill or a Moxie or things that I like, you know, and I get them every so often. But you know what? You know what the one thing that I really enjoyed the most? You know, I loved it. I'd be driving them, sitting on the bus, pulling to the church parking lot, sitting there, and all how many's on there, you know. Every single one of them, without fail, would get off and say, thank you, Brother Sean. Thank you, Brother Sean. Thank you, Brother Sean. Thank you, Brother Sean. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know what? That meant more to me than anything else. It meant, I said, man, you know, after it's done, I said, man, I think they're getting it. If I can teach these kids to be thankful to their earthly leaders, boy, you know what? If I can get them to do that, boy, if I can get them to go ahead and be thankful to God as well, then you know what? We're going to be able to salvage these kids. We're going to be able to, I'm losing my word. We're going to be able to, I kind of talk about, we're going to be able to keep them from forgetting. You know, that's why we need to, you know, leaders, step up and teach our young people to be thankful. Teach them, you know, I said it earlier, sometimes we've got to be, with our bus teenagers, sometimes we have to be patient. Sometimes we have to be patient. But you know what, after a little while, they get it. They see you doing your thing. But you know what, leaders, we ought to do everything we can to teach these kids at Faith Baptist Church to say thank you. Say thank you. Thank you to their leaders. Thank you. Kids, you're here tonight, you learn to be thankful. Moms and dads, you be the example, though. But kids, you learn to be thankful. You know, you go to your mom and dad, and sometimes you may have to set them down before you tell them, Mom, Dad, thank you. Maybe in many cases, make sure they're sitting, or else there'll be a loud kerplunk. But you know what? And I'm not just saying one time a year. Well, this is November, so we're supposed to be thankful this month. Yeah, we're supposed to be thankful next month, too. We're supposed to be thankful every month, every day. You know, but you kids, you know what? Let me just teach you. You want to, if you go ahead and you become a thankful individual over everything that you have, you know what? And you become thankful to God, you know what? You're going to stay straight. Say thank you to your mom and say thank you for your youth leader. Every Tuesday night, you ought to go up to Brother Ron's hand, shake his hand, say thank you, Brother Ron. Brother Blaine, thank you. Miss Wendy, thank you for cooking. Say thank you to those who cart you back and forth. Say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Say thank you to your preacher. I'm not saying I want all the, but say thank you. Say thank you to those that are over you. You know, we're going to be able to keep you. You keep all these decisions you made if you just become, if you have some praise and some thanks to you. I ask you today, this month, this year, every day, be thankful for the family that you have, for your salvation. I'm just got a short list, your Bible. Well, you realize how precious this book is, yet we don't attempt much to get into it. And the very thing that we need for that day, we face these troubles, you know, really the help's right here if we get into it. So be thankful for your Bible, be thankful for your church, your health, your material blessings, your food, amen. We just enjoyed plenty, amen. Be thankful for the air you breathe, your home, your water, your clothing, the friends, your car. Even if it's a Chevy, thank him for it. See if you're alive. David was just trying to get us to remember. Just remember. I know we all get in a slump. I know we all kind of, it's easy. You know, let's be mindful that when we get in that low spiritual slump, before we start forgetting and then wandering, before you make any rash decisions, and you're in that slump, if you will, sit, look at the whole picture before you, go ahead and make any wrong move. Look up to God and start thinking, before I make this decision, how is it going to end? And look up to God. God, I need you right now. And start thinking about, if you can, just start thinking about all that he's done for you. And let's be thankful. You know, God has been so good. Talking to the guys the other day, God has been so good, hasn't he? You know, all of us could test it. If we took longer testimony, we could all thank God for something. That's why, I encourage you. It's a little more personal when you, all of us, just take time and write out a few things of thanks, if you will. God has been so good. We all have something to thank God for. In closing, I'm going to ask you to sing this song with me. It's a song that I used to sing, God is so good. Let's just sing it together. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good, he's so good to me. Think about that. Let's sing that same chorus together, same verse. God is so good, God is so good, God is so good, He's so good to me. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. God, I tried with your help this afternoon. It was a little bit different day, a little different service. But Lord, I pray that we'd be mindful of you, be mindful of your goodness, your graciousness, your loving kindness. God, you're awesome, bottom line. You're just awesome. God, we just, my heart's just overwhelmed just thinking of all the blessings that you've just given me. And if we all would think before we make any rash decisions, I think we too could realize how good a God you are. And I pray, God, that you bless. Pray you bless this invitation. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If God spoke to your heart, God spoke to your heart. Let's stand to our feet. I'm going to have a short invitation. God spoke to your heart. You just want to come talk to God for a few minutes. Maybe you just want to come thank him. I don't know. Whatever God leads you to do, why don't you do it as piano, please. All right, we'll not break away from the norm here, but take your songbook. We'll close with this hymn. It's our Sunday evening service. We always close with our Sunday evening song. Amen. Hymn number 300. Why don't we take time? We'll sing the first. Oh, we'll sing all three verses of Take the Name of Jesus with you. I want to hear everybody singing now, okay? Everybody singing, or else I'll just stop it, and we'll have to start over and get you all up here, and I'll go down there, all right? Okay, so everybody's singing. Okay, let's sing Take the Name of Jesus with you, all three verses. Our pianist is into it anyways.